Wednesday the 19th of March, Yud Beis Adar Sheni, Rabbi Yehuda Baruch Lieberman, accessing real Simchas Purim.
If any good Chassidish Tish in Eretz Yisrael, they're at home, you know, you go, you see two groups of people at every Tish. There's the Chassidim, the members of the place, whatever it is, bells, the Vishnit, and they come for a chizuk, they come to join the Tish. You'll also find a group of tourists, Americans, English, Bochrim, Balabatim, who are visiting Eretz Yisrael at the time, and they want to see a famous Tish, so they come along to see the excitement. There's some Bochrim who come week in, week out, just to watch the fun. It's interesting, it's entertainment. If you would stop two people after the Tish, you have a Chassidish younger man who spent Friday night meal, he rushed it a little bit, he rushed his mirrors because he wanted to get to the Tish, because this is the source of his inspiration for the week. He comes back with the chiyus, with the slavas that the Rebbe gave him at the Tish. That's one person sitting at the Tish. Next to him was a young bocha, an American bocha, who came to see the sun, and you ask them to write 10 points of what they saw at that Tish. What are the chances that there'll be any overlap? Highly possible there won't. He came for chizuk, so he'll notice what Vatilya the Rebbe said, he'll notice the kavan of the Rebbe Kiddush, he'll notice that the way he gave out Shirayim, the chassid notices everything that gives him inspiration and inspires. Whereas it comes to the tourist, what does the tourist notice? Ech beis, this fellow was too squashed, and there were so many people, and there was such a noise at Shalom Aleichem, he notices Zaytig Azachin, complete, it's a different experience. What one considers a great tish, the other considers a complete disaster. If one week Nebuch was pushing on the parenches, and one fellow pushes the other one too hard, and somebody gets pushed off, and the Gabba has to wave with his hands, and the Rebbe looks up, for the Chassid, that's it. You ruined the whole Tish. That's an awful Tish this week. Couldn't concentrate. It lost the Cheshivas. It was a very disappointing Tish. But the American comes back to his dira and he says, "Wow, you should have seen. You don't know what you missed. Ach, chaval, you didn't come this week. It was such fun." Of course, this is just a mashal. The nimshal is anything in life that can be seen one of two ways. You can either see it as a source of inspiration, or some sort of a carnival way meant to have a lot of fun, something that's just a circus. Purim is one of those times. On the one hand, in Purim there's the potential, there's the opportunity for a tremendous chizuk, a tremendous esaros. On the other hand, there's certainly a circus going on at the same time. And if one isn't aware of what's going on Purim, if one doesn't stop and be mispoining on the greatness, on the stylus, on the romanness of the day, then one can go through and ask, what do you see? This dressing up, that party, one doesn't have how much there is to be had. If we're not aware of it, we don't even notice it. That's the first akdama to the Inyan of Purim. And the emphasis is, if Purim is a nilidigim mekir for the whole year. The Gemara says in Megillah that Rebbe notan atir shel simcha. On Purim, Rebbe planted a tree. It was a tree that was used to celebrate Simchas. He had nothing else to do. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara, how could Rebbe do that? Is it an opinion that Malachas also on Purim? Good. So the Gemara is Miyash of it, why Rebbe was allowed to do it. Oh, but that's all he had to do on Purim. So the Chiddush HaRim, the Avodah of Rebbe was to be Neteya Netiyo Shel Simcha. He was planting the roots of Simcha for the rest of the year. Simcha shel mitzvah is a tremendous madrega, that a person should do a mitzvah and feel a surge of excitement. Ah, noch amal, I managed to do tefillin, I managed to bench, I did kibbutz avayim, I had the opportunity to do tzedakah, to share with somebody else to do a chesed. The simcha shel mitzvah, says the Chiddush HaRim, the makor of that simcha comes from Purim. If one is neteya neteya on Purim, it'll last for the rest of the year. And that's because normally, otherwise, we don't appreciate what's really happening when we do a mitzvah. It's one of the very famous Gemara on the Megillah. La Yehudim hoysa oira v'simcha v'sosim v'kaz of the Gemara oira v'teira. Simcha is yontes, sosim is umila, yikar is tefillin. All these expressions of joy, of excitement that Klal Yisrael had at the time all reflect different madrigas in Avodas Hashem. For the sosemis. So that's what you mean. So say La Yehudim hoysa teira v'yontes umila u'tefillin. Why change it to Eirav Simcha V'Sasim V'Kar? So the Sasemis. Because right through a year, through the year, every time a person learns Torah, there is a surge of oiro that enters him. There's a light of ruchnis that enters his neshama. But we don't feel it when we learn. We don't feel the oiro of the Torah. When a person puts on tefillin, there's a yikar. He becomes a more respectable person. It's like clothing a person's neshama when he puts on tefillin. Do we feel that? No, we don't. You go to a bris, it's very exciting, but we don't necessarily automatically feel ourselves in touch with the sasim of Mila. It's not the sasemas. On Purim, one has the ability to get the connection to the mitzvah to the extent that Torah now is Oira, Yom Tov is Simcha, Tefillin is Yikar, Sasim is Mila. It's a whole different appreciation of mitzvahs. So I'd like to look at that, to go through one inyan of the inyanim of Purim, have a look at it and be misbeinim on one, just one aspect of the avoda of this most important day. In Shoshanas Yaakov, we say that the Rebbeinu Shleilim was the source of Kali Yisrael's Yeshua. Shu Osam HaYisal LoNetzach, a focus on the word LoNetzach, forevermore, forever and ever and ever. LoHidia Shekol Kevecha LoYevoshiv LoYikomu LoNetzach. That the Shlai Kodesh, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noyeg with this world with many midas. Lecha Hashem HaGadulo, HaGvuro, VaTiferes, VaHaNetzach, VaHahoid. The midas that the Rebbeinu Shleilim showed when it came to Purim was midas Netzach. Netzach, its root is the Lashon of Nitzachin. There was an overpowering. There was a victory over Amalek. It's one Nekuda. But more, says the Shlai Kodesh, says also, in Netzach, the meaning also can be translated as Lo Netzach, forever. There's something about Purim that's forever. What is it? What is it about Purim that somehow lasts beyond other Yom Tovim? All other Yom Tovim, something will happen, lasted Lavo, it won't be the same. Purim, Zichram LeYosef, it continues forever. It's Lo Netzach. One Nekuda. Second Nekuda is the famous Gemara in Shabbos that Mr. Wiesenfeld was just talking about. The Gemara talks about Maidar, Rabba, Loi Raisa, at the time of Matan Torah, the Gemara says, Kof Aleim HaKigigit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned up, and he picked up Har Sinai, and he swung it over Klal Yisrael, and he says, listen, Rabbi Yisai, in the Kabbalah HaTorah Mutav, you either accept it, or I drop this, Shom Teich Vuraskim, I'm going to bury you alive, and then you don't have to take the Torah, it's your choice. So what should they do? They had no choice. So they took the Torah. First kasha on that Gemara, of course, is Tosfos' kasha. We're busy telling our kids about the Nas of an Ishma. How Klal Yisrael said, yeah, Ribbono Shel Olam, we just love to get your Torah. And now all of a sudden, it's Kof Aleim HaKigigis. But more than that, the Gemara says from then on, there was a Moedar Rabba. There was some sort of an excuse that people had. And you could say, yeah, you sign a contract under pressure. Somebody puts a gun to your head and he says, will you sign? Shefashtetzach, you sign. So it's Moedar Rabba Lo Raisa. We weren't obligated to keep the Torah fully, it sounds like. Yet, but the Gemara, don't think that lasts today. There's no excuse anymore. Because Hada Kiblua Bimei HaKashverish and times of HaKashverish will become the Torah again. You ever wonder? Klal Yisrael, they're there, and they've got Moshe Rabbeinu there. And then we cavil the Torah, but you need a bit of pressure to make it happen. Years later, they've gone into Golus Shvachadur. The first Golus that Klal Yisrael ever went to was Golus Babel. And there, all of a sudden, there's an inspiration, a Kabbalah Satira, and they have, it's interesting. We have to understand what the Moedar Rabba was, and what was it that triggered the Hoda Kiblua Bimei HaKashverish. And lastly, it's a question of whether this Kabbalah Satira was Meyava or Meyira. Mr. Wiesenfeld said that in the times of the original Matan Torah, that's Pashup Shat, Kof Aleim HaKigigis. So that was Meyav or Meyira. That's Meyira, right? You needed force. That's to be forced to do it. Hada Kibluah B'Mei HaKashverish, the quality of Purim, that it was Meyav. Purim was Kabbalah Satira Meyav. There was no need for any force. How does that fit with the story of Purim? With the Gemara in Megillah, Gedolah Asaras Tabas, that when Achashverosh took his signet ring off and gave it to Haman, it was a more powerful impetus for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva than all the Nevi'im put together, because they were so scared, they were so frightened, it shook them up. So what's that, tshuva me'ava or tshuva me'ira? It seems to be a stira. On the one hand, the Gemara in Shabbos is me'ahavas anes, it's clearly a sugi of ahava, And yet we know they were scared to build and push it, scared to death. That's why they did shuvah. It was kula yira. So I think if we're misbeinin about the sugya of Ahava and about the sugya of yira, we'll compare the two. We'll see perhaps a mahalach that would explain this contradiction of Ahava and yira at the times of Purim. It'll help us understand the concept of Moedah Rabba Loi Raisa and the Hazaki Blua, and with that we'll get back to the Inyan, the Remez of Purim being Chuosa Moisa L'Netzach. When we talk about Avodah Me'ahava and Avodah Me'ira, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'ahava because of love, or serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'ira because we're scared, possibly we don't dare violate the commands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we think of it as differing emotions that a person is feeling while he's doing the Avodah, while he's serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's not wrong. But if you open the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam Perek Yud Hilchos Tshuva, he describes Avodah Me'ahava and Avodah Me'ira as more separate, more different ways of Avodah. The Rambam talks about the concept of being Oved as Hashem Lishmo, Hashem Shammai. So the Rambam, Avodah Me'ahava is Avodah Lishmo. Avodah Me'ira is Shelo Lishmo. Why is that? When a person does something Me'ahava, he's doing it out of inspiration. When a person does something Me'ira, he's doing it out of obligation. Obligation means, I don't feel connected, I don't feel like doing this, I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it anyway. Why? Rabbeinu Shalom says, I've got to. Either you're scared of Olam Haba, Onus HaNolam HaZeh, whatever we're scared of. But if I was really interested in doing it, I wouldn't have to be afraid. I would do it anyway. When you want to do something, you've got something you want to buy, and you've found out that it's now available, you've waited for weeks, now you've got an opportunity. Anybody needs to force you to do it. He needs to be obligated to do it. You do it because you want to do it. So the Rambam, a person who's Oved Me'ahava, does things because he knows they are right, because he appreciates the meaning, the value, the significance of a mitzvah. That's an Oved Me'ahava. The reason why he's doing it is because it makes sense. You need to push. He doesn't need any external push. A person who's doing a mitzvah because, doesn't matter what the because is, because he'll get covered in Olam HaZeh, because the Rebbeinu Shem will give him Schar in Olam HaZeh, because he'll get to Olam Haba. So the Rambam is gewaldig. It's Avodas Hashem, but you're not in touch with the mitzvah itself. If it was in touch, you wouldn't need any external drive to make us do it. So Ahava is when a person has an inspiration and understanding of mitzvahs. Yira is when we're not yet clear about what the mitzvah is, but we do it anyway because we have to. Avodah Me'ahava, Avodah Me'ira. Which is a higher madriga? Avodah Me'ahava, Shiloh. The Rambam says, Avodah Me'ira is suitable for people who never are not yet on the madriga of Avodah Me'ahava. So you start with Avodah Me'ira. L'chatchila, what we're trying to achieve is a level where the only thing a person wants to do is Ahava. Givaldik. Avodah Hashem means everything else falls away. The only thing I'm interested in serving the Rebbeinu Shlomo. There's only one thing, one point, one problem, one limitation when it comes to the sugya of Avodah Me'ahava. What's that? It's great while it lasts. If you're inspired, if you're switched on, if you have that clarity, the clarity of Ruchnius, and you know that a person is only Neshama, and the only thing that's real and meaningful is a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when a person feels that, when a person's switched on with Avos Hashem, nothing else counts. B'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha, he's willing to give his life, he's willing to give his whole, all his possessions away. B'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha. Aye, what will happen? There's no what will happen. Rebbeinu Shalom. The only thing that really counts is the mitzvah of the Rebbeinu Shalom and my connection with him. Avos Hashem. Everything else falls away. It's great while the madriga lasts. But if you happen to live in Olam HaZeh like we do, and then you come back down to earth, as they say, and you land with a bump, and all of a sudden there's real things that we call real, there's a mortgage to pay, and there's kids who need to have their homework done, you come back into this Olam, and you forget that Avos Hashem, and all of a sudden, it's all gone. And Nafshecha, Moedecha, all our personal concerns suddenly become an issue again, and we've lost that connection that we once had. Tell an example of this. Tshuva on Yom Kippur. One of the big problems with Tshuva on Yom Kippur is that it's on Yom Kippur. Many times we do tshuva on Yom Kippur, and our tshuva is a perfect tshuva. Achap, suddenly, do you know what it means? You hurt another yid's feelings. Do you know how low that is? It's shiftless. And you know, at that moment, on Yom Kippur, if I had the opportunity to say a really good shtech and a givali and everybody really impressed, I wouldn't. I should hurt another person's feelings. I couldn't. I've known this year. Shay. So I say to myself, okay, I've done tshuva for that one now. Next is the Chveis, missing Zman Krishma. How can a person risk missing Zman Krishma? First man, the second man, sugar bistu, you have a chance to be mekabel oil malchus shemayim. Tell you in Yom Kippur, I would better stay up the whole night than risk oversleeping Krishna. 100% true. At that point, great, next one off my list. And I see you go through, every person has their own avarice, he goes through, tzedakah, I should give him more tzedakah. Sure, I should give him more tzedakah. What, Yom Kippur, if I had a chance, I need my money. Sure, it's stuck, I've got a chance of connecting to the Rebbeinu with my local Eretz Kavod. Of course, at that point, everything's clear. Talmud Torah is clear, Tefillah is clear. This is just nothing but the Rebbeinu Shleim. The whole Yom Kippur doesn't know anything about it. And it's great so long as it lasts, which is about 10 minutes after marriage. And then I come home, and all of a sudden, the Eitzar is back. And all of a sudden, I'm not on the great Madrega of Yom Kippur. You wake up the next morning, and the Tshuva is still there, but it's not particularly relevant to my present situation. A Hava is fantastic if it can last. But if it's not going to last, it doesn't help us much, because we're still faced with the same challenges the next day. Whereas when it comes to Yira, when a person chaps that he doesn't have a choice, if you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. There's no high madrega. This is what the Rebbeinu Shlom says, and it just doesn't pay. If it doesn't pay, it doesn't pay. You can lose that as well. But it's much easier to hold on to madrega of Yira. So we're a bit stuck. On the one hand, if you go to Yira, it's a low and weak madrega. If you go for Ava, well, it's great while it lasts. But when you lose it, it's gone. There is another route to Ava. It's not the same inspirational romance of Ovid Me'ava, where there's just pure connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that drives a person and pulls him through. But it's an Ava that is based on Yira. When we have choices, we're faced with a choice between a mitzvah or something else. Should I learn Torah or should I do some other activity? Should I give tzedakah? Should I keep the money for myself? Should I respond in an argument, or should I keep quiet? If I connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's quite clear what my choice is. In Olam Hazeh, it's also quite clear what I prefer to do. There are choices. The challenge is, because Olam Hazeh is so real, so alive, that the tension is tremendous. I've got something I've got to finish. So you're right, I've got a chavrusa. On the other hand, I've got something I've got to finish. It's so real, it's so important, that it's capable of distracting us from our avodah. But if a person can focus on what the Svarim HaKadoshim call bitul ayesh, on a little bit of a bitul, a little bit of focusing on the unimportance of inyana ulam hazeh, it's not ruchnis, you're not thinking about the greatness of avodah, but instead thinking about the limitations and how unimportant inyana ulam hazeh are in our lives, automatically, and his sayin drops. I haven't raised the ruchnis, I've lowered the gashmis. Now, if my level of ruchnis is here, and my gashmis is here, I'm going to have a serious nisayin, because my gashmis is greater than my ruchnis. If I lower my interest in gashmis till it's below my level of ruchnis, what will I feel automatically? I'll feel just the ruchnis. You can get to an Abbas Hashem, not by raising v'after Hashem aloi kecha, and therefore, nafshecha moidecha, don't pull. If one lowers nafshecha moidecha, then v'after Hashem lekecha automatically rises up, and a person feels a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not as thrilling and exciting as the first mahalach, but it's got a maila. It lasts. Take a person who's a very rich man, has got an opportunity to do a lot of tzedakah, to give tzedakah many, many times, and you know, he struggles, but he manages. So let's say the last half a year he's given away £500,000. And you know, every time he thinks about it, it hurts. If you're not a millionaire, you don't have business here in the city. The more you have, the harder it becomes. He's given away £500,000. Real good money. And every time, good, okay, but he's happy, yeah. Remember, yeah, it's a mitzvah, it's the right thing to do. Nebuch, he has a visit to the doctor, and they take some tests. And the doctor comes in and he says, I'm sorry to have to tell you, but there's a very negative diagnosis. I think you have 2 weeks left. Well, it is the doctor's business to limit his life. It isn't, but he has something like that. He comes out chaloshes, he comes home. How does he feel about this £500,000? Great, wow. He only thinks maybe I should double it. It's not just because he suddenly wants to have a bigger schus and suddenly he needs extra schusim to get a refuah. But if my life is something that can go like that, can disappear in an instant, then of what value does Olam Hazeh? All of a sudden it loses its significance and automatically wechap. If that's nothing, so what does remain? What remains is only the Torah mitzvahs I'm going to take with me lenetzach. What remains is only my connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. From Yira, one can attain Ahava. Bitul Hayesh can bring us to a whole new Madriga of Reim. Let's have a look then at the Gemara and Shabbos. And we'll come back to a famous Vos on Purim and the Nekudah and the Megillah that maybe reflects this. So the Gemara and Shabbos. Kofa Aleim Har Kedigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu held a mountain over them. Now I don't know whether physically he did hold the mountain or didn't hold the mountain, but Zot the Maral, that wasn't the Ikub Shat of the Gemara. Point wasn't he held a mountain. The Madrega of Ma'amad Har Sinai was so powerful that every single Yid saw with a clarity, Ein Oid Milvadoi. There's Nisim, the Rebbein Shmuel can do whatever he wants in the world. He can intervene, there's Ein, nothing but the Rebbein Shmuel. And if that's true, wow. Memela, the only thing that's worthwhile is serving the Rebbein Shlomo, doing mitzvahs. Everything else fell aside automatically. There was such a roimamus, such a greatness. The Nasa v'nishma is what triggered the Kof Aleim HaKigigis. Well, it just triggered it. That was the essence of the Kof Aleim HaKigigis. There's a little part of every person, a Yetzer Hara, but the Yetzer Hara was forced by the clarity of Nasa v'nishma. They were forced because it was so clear. It was such a madrega that the madrega schlepped them to be mekabel Melchus Shemayim and to mekabel Satira. But the moment one starts to walk away from Har Sinai, there's a distance from Matan Torah, that light isn't shining as clearly, it's Motzi Yom Kippur, all of a sudden, Moedah Rabba Lo Yireisa. There's other things that have interest, there's business. And yet, you're right, of course, the revolution helps my business, but in real terms, I'm the one who makes things happen. There's suddenly an isoyan of yesh oid milvado. Other things get value. That's when you start from the top down. For when it came to the story of Purim, it was exactly the opposite. There was no nisim gluim, but within the politics of Olam Hazeh, within the realities of this world, of the life that we live in, of the technical, materialistic, teva-driven law and effect world that we live in, within that order, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed he could also save Klal Yisrael. So, Ein Oid Melvado. The experience of a Yid at the time of Har was all of a sudden chapping that finished. It's all over. Naturally, Haman was quite capable of fulfilling his plot, and there would have been not a single Jew left. It wasn't like Rachman al-Islam after the Holocaust, where some people had third cousins left. Finished. No more Yidden. At that point, Inyana Olam Hazeh lost their significance. If there was such a bittul of Inyana Olam Hazeh, that automatically, the only thing left in life was, how can I serve the Rebbein Shlomo? At least that's something that will last. At least that's something that has meaning. If Olam Hazeh is gone, if there's a true Yira, a bittul of Olam Hazeh, one can get to the Madrega of Ava, of reconnecting to Inyana Olam Haba. So what's the Gemara in Shabbos? Was it Meyira or was it Me'ava? It started Meyira, Gedola Soros Tabas, the Yira that showed Klal Yisrael, nothing in Olam Hazeh has any value. But it ended up with Ava, with a deep connection and excitement with Torah, with mitzvahs, with tefillah, with Oira, Simcha, Sosav Bikar, a whole new appreciation of the mitzvahs. When Yana Ulam Hazeh are gone, in Yana Ulam Haba automatically gets significant. And the ma'ala of this Abba is that it's something that lasts. It's lenetzach. It's a madrega that we created from our avodah. It's not something that came from the outside, like the nisim of the Mitzrayim, or the clarity of Matan Torah. It's something that comes from our avodah up. Something that starts from our avodah. If we're clean with something Purim, it lasts. And a tear, something that's well planted and lasts right through the year. Chuasam ha'yisal lenetzach. One of the nafkiminas of this inyan is that our relationship with that which is physical is different on Purim to perhaps on Yom Kippur. We're told Elik Gagoin. The Gagoin says that if every Yom Tov has a Suda, Rosh Hashanah, although it's a Yom Adin, also has a Sudas Yom Tov. Because how can you have a Yom Tov without the Sudas Yom Tov of the Gagoin? So where's the Suda of Yom Kippur? The Suda of Yom Kippur, Zalwam Masakin, a Yom Tov which makes up for that Suda. The Suda of Yom Kippur is eaten on Purim. Now you hear a difference and a comparison between Yom Kippur and Purim. What's the vault of Yom Kippur? Ein Oid Milvadu. What's the vault of Purim? Ein Oid Milvadu. But on Yom Kippur I get to the Ein Oid Milvadu because I leave all in Yom Olam Hazeh behind. I'm only thinking about the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's a Shvisa from all in Yom Olam Hazeh. I don't know about eating on Yom Kippur. If I don't know about eating on Yom Kippur, there's only Ribbono Shel Olam. I focus on the Ribbono Shel Olam with Mitzrayim. Purim is a time where Ein Oid Milvadu. I am eating, I am drinking. You think it's in Yom Olam Hazeh? No. The only reason why we do this is to bring us further, to bring us closer. A time where Yid can live with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Anything for you. If I have something, I'll give it away. We share, we give. The priesthood is a time where a person is capable of being involved in Yon Olam Hazeh, but asking himself, how will this bring me closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Taka Einod Mavadai. And mainly you find when it comes to Purim, there's a focus on the Gashmias, and the Gashmias can also be raised to the level of Ruchnias. So it's an interesting point. It says that there's two levels to the Avodah of Purim. It has to start with Yira, Bittul of Olam Hazeh, and then get to Avo, to using in Yon Olam Hazeh. Starts with Precious, ends with Kedusha, doesn't it? Tomorrow's a Tainis. First we have a Tainis, and the next day we have a Suda. From Bittul Olam Hazeh, getting to the connection to Olam Hazeh. Where do you find the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Megillah? One place is the Chol Zeh Einenu Shoveli. Sofei Tevis, the end of the Tevis is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Bittul, it's all worth nothing. Where else do you find the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Megillah? Yovoi HaMelech V'Homon HaYoim. Rosh Tevis, Yud Kei Vav Kei. HaMelech? Who's HaMelech? Every HaMelech in the Megillah refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hamelech v'Haman, you bring the Haman to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Suda. Yes, on Purim you can take it afilin yonim from Haman, even yonim Olam Hazeh, and say, no, I'm not going to use it for its own right. I'm going to do this just to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have an avodah which takes in yonim that are naturally negative and raises that. Does that ring a bell? Any specific avodah in Torah that takes even that which is negative and includes it? Keteris. We have an ingredient in the Keteris called Chelbana. The Chelbana didn't have a good smell. It was the Rishayim of Klal Yisrael. Do you bring that in and you can raise it up? That's Mordechai HaTzadik, whose Keach is Keteris. Mordechai, Mordechai, Mordechai is the Keach of Keteris. You can take the Chelbana and raise that, the Kedusha. Probably no coincidence then, says the Shlach HaKadosh, that Haman, the Chelbana, on the same Gematria, when he's able to take the Inyonim of Olam Hazeh, and focus for one day a year to be connected just to Ribbono Shel Olam. What does he want? Think about the Ribbono Shel Olam all the time and take everything with us and bemal it to that madrego, shtakel b'zeicha, because when you get to that level, there's no clash between the guf and the neshama. And when there's no internal clash, Rav Yisai, that's when you really get into it, the deepest possible level of simcha shel mitzvah. Mazeichel zayin ta'purim samech.